A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is an AFL podcast and round two all wrapped up. My name is Heath, and the first question I ask every week is your highlight of the week. So, Josh, have you got a highlight of the week past?
I do, but it's not really football related. Good Friday, you know, a public holiday.
Yes.
For non-Victorians, there was a bit of a stink in the local parliament. Just so it's not biased. It's vote on some of the CFA shit. Some people get cancelled, they get looked after. Probably good stuff, but people are for it, against it, whatever. So it comes to a vote. Labor think they've just got the numbers. So when one of the, I think it was a national senator or whatever, says, I'm sick, I can't come in, can I have a pair? Which is where Labor sends one of their people out. Labor's gone, no, you're not a Liberal, you're not the opposition, fuck off. So they had the advantage. Then two of the Liberal senators have gone, it's fucking disgrace, we're working on Good Friday. I never even have my birthday on Good Friday when it falls on Good Friday. It's anti-religion, against Christianity. It's blasphemy. It's everything, this, that, and the other.
Yeah, right, eh?
So they said, all right, we're not coming in, two of us. Can we have pairs? And Labor's gone, okay, you can have a pair. So all this goes on. Past midnight, Good Friday starts. At about 2 a.m., whatever it is, they get to the vote. All of a sudden, those two guys pop up out of their office, come in, vote against it, and it goes down 19 to 18.
The fact that there is such a thing as a pairs, anyway, to me, is absolute fucking bullshit. Because it's then you're representing party. You're not representing yourself. You've been elected to represent yourself, as far as I'm concerned. It's advocating, look, I don't have an opinion. This is my party's opinion. And that's good enough. And that's what happens with... Well, because your pairs, like, you're there to vote. You're there. You personally have been elected. So, but you go, no. My party says I'm not voting. Well, fuck off. Then don't be in parliament. You haven't got a vote anymore. Your party has a vote now. You don't have one.
And if you're giving your birthday for Good Friday, then I feel like you're probably not representing any of the people in Australia anyway.
Certainly not the majority. No one
would be like, shit, Easter, fuck.
Guess my birthday's tomorrow.
Off this year.
No, you go, fucking A, I don't have to work on my birthday.
I mean, I don't know how people wouldn't want to celebrate their birthday if it's on a public holiday.
Exactly.
I'm all for it.
I know plenty of people that are like, you know, their birthday's the day before Anzac Day. And they're like, awesome.
Yes.
The day after, I never have to worry about it.
That's for sure. And I mean, shit, it's Good Friday. They're getting double time.
So. Well, I think they're getting double time no matter what time it is anyway. Brenton, you got a highlight from the week past?
Yes, I was really glad to see the cricket end. To be honest, I've been sick of that shit. It's been brought on too long. And I feel like the person that like following on Twitter is Andrew Bogut. Have you ever seen his comments on it?
Yeah,
straight away he's
like Andrew Bogut.
Media, I'll give you a heads up. I'm giving you till Tuesday. After that, I don't hear any fucking more about this shit. There's better shit in the world going on. And he was spot on. People trying to argue with him going, well, you know, it's an important thing. I was like, yeah, and they can figure all the shit out by Tuesday. After that,
I like that.
That's it. You're done.
I didn't see that. That's great, actually. You've got till Tuesday.
Yeah.
Then fuck off.
Yeah.
One angle they haven't talked about, which I find surprising, is how shit the cheating was. Like, they still scored fucking tons of runs.
They weren't doing well.
Yeah, and like, and the thing is, I think we could actually help with that because I know I've mentioned it to Heath before that
last week, in fact,
if they want to talk about ball tampering, old coach Buck Rogers, he made a lifetime out of it. It was quite accomplished, getting a pocket knife out of the pocket and picking the grass seeds out of the seam, which happened to accidentally open the seam right up.
I'm going to say, there's two important parts to this that are really important, though. One was the ball was brand new, so I hadn't even been on the grass yet.
There's three factors. Second factor is the coach. So, you know, he's on the ground. The third factor, he's also on the ground as a coach because he's also the umpire.
So it's pretty hard to get picked cheating when you're the umpire. But anyway.
But mind you, when old Uncle Ants took, about 14 for 8?
I think literally was.
Yeah. So, I think that puts him right up there with, look, all I'm saying is you've got a year suspension, Davey Warner and Stevie Smith. If you want to learn how to do it fucking properly and actually take wickets, I'll get Buck on it. And look, I'm just saying, if Steve Smith can have a bowl again and suddenly gets figures of 14 for 12, I reckon he's probably going to get picked again.
I didn't like the backlash, you know, they're crying in the press conferences and that, and people say, oh, it's not genuine and stuff like that. Like,
yep.
Both of them are out about $6 to $8 million from this. I'd cry.
I'd be fucking crying.
Also,
but the thing is, you have everything on any internet channel, and someone's saying it's not genuine. People get fucking shot in schools, and they're like, oh, they weren't really there. That's not real.
But what I thought... The opposite. What if the opposite happened? If they went the Charles Sonnen route, like, yep, I cheated, got caught.
I saw this funny tweet, it might have been a repost on Reddit or something, where someone said that the person they feel most sorry for is Mitchell Stark, who for three tests has generally thought he's Wazzy Makram.
I think that was Mike Atherton that said it. It's all of that. It's a great tweet. There was some real gold that came out of it. All right, so we'll go into the footy then. We had the grand final rematch on Thursday night. I've come over to Thursday night football now. I kind of liked it.
Yeah, yep.
But especially when there's a public holiday the next day.
Yeah.
Adelaide get the job done against the Tigers. It was a scrappy affair from the Tigers, but Adelaide seemed to be always in control.
Yeah, you always feel like they're going to get there. And, I mean, they ran away with it quite easily towards the end of that quarter, the last quarter. And, I mean, but this is how it went last season. You don't really expect to go over to Adelaide Oval and be able to knock them off too often, times a season.
So. Exactly. It was a 6-goal win, but last time you went there, it was a 10-goal win, wasn't it? So
yeah, I think we're up by 8 in the first as well.
Yeah.
So it's a bigger turn there. But, yeah, they had some players back. I feel like, obviously, both sides aren't really, you know, trying to hit their straps at this point in time. They're just getting together and, you know, trying to figure out what their plan's going to be this season. But I mean, for the Crows fans, it's always good to get a win against the team of the beach in the finals. For the Tigers, it's always easier when you've got a flag in the in the back pocket.
Well, for me, like, Dusty kicked 5 and got 25 possessions. Did anyone else turn up?
Yeah, it wasn't a bad effort from him at all.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, Tigers got beaten all around the ground pretty much.
Except
for Dusty. Yeah, it was disposals. They just couldn't get enough of the ball to really make enough impact.
In the first quarter, Josh Jenkins was absolutely toweling up Rance. Yeah. I mean, and the ball delivery was good as well, but he got in the right position. He outmarked him. He outmuscled him. It made it look very, very difficult for Rance.
Yeah, and they had plenty of the ball coming into their forward 52. They smashed them inside 50s. So it's always really hard to be able to do that over the course of four quarters when they're getting that many looks at it.
It was a good win for Adelaide, especially with the week they had and all the next leak about their Camp Horrible or whatever it was up in bloody, Guantanamo Bay or wherever they went.
They should just have a Big Brother revival with Adelaide Footy Club and run with it. Yeah. Reality TV.
Well, I know that the Big Brother voice, you know, this is Big Brother. That can be Michelangelo Ricci.
Yeah.
That'd be great. That'd just really drive it fucking home for them.
Funny part for me too, Matty Crouch, he came off halftime, yeah?
Don't know.
Somewhere in there. Hammy, I think.
Right, yeah.
Still got more possessions than Townsend, Castagna, McIntosh, Grimes.
Some people on the ground don't get many touches.
I think they should have Rashudo's Big Brother.
Hey, this is Big Brother. Hello, this is Big Brother.
Tom Doty got Rising Star nod this round, I believe, didn't he?
He did, yes. Round 2 Rising Star. I was going to call it the Norwich Rising Star, but it's the NAB.
Yeah, he's another one that's sort of fit into a team that's got, yeah, lots of stars in there and excelled.
I still think he's the second best young player they've got, and that Fogarty.
Yeah.
Although he got a fine for a late hit, and I'm glad he got a fine because it definitely wasn't a spoil, unless he's trying to spoil his kidneys.
Yeah.
And well after the mark, and he got a fine, and Caddy took a week for. I thought he was a bit unlucky.
Yeah, he got a bit high there.
He did get him across the chops, but.
Yep. Yeah,
definitely going for the ball.
Probably a little bit soft on both ends, but no. And I think like Fogarty, he's only played one match. Is there much cash yet?
Well, he's got two now. So
suspended fine or something.
I was gonna say he's probably broke even for his first two games of AFL footy. I don't know if the first timers get that much.
Yeah,
but Doty or Doday or how are they pronounce it?
Call him Doty because it's way funnier.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good one. He's had a good couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So he's got plenty of the ball floating across that back line.
Yeah, Rory Laird also played well. Enough possession for him.
42 touches.
Played a little roving roll across there. Lots to like about that Adelaide squad. But it's easier. I mean, there's still a lot of problems that they're going to have to sort out, I think, especially off-field, getting people that's fit and
joining
that media. There's still a bit of a black shadow following them around.
I think... beating the Tigers sort of relieves that pressure a little bit.
Yeah.
It's just one of those weeks to go, okay, look, we've got it done. Now we can move on and, you know, the first win's on the board. It's only round two after all.
Yeah.
The Big Texan had a good return, not playing in round one. But a lot of the focus is on Eddie Betts. He's kept goalless again.
Yep.
Now, I did predict that this would be the year where he comes back to the pack a little bit, but I do think it's a little bit early to go on it.
Yeah.
Because they played two decent sides.
Oh, he's gone from S-class back to A-grade.
Yeah.
But we're not going to put a pin in him yet. But he's no longer a superstar. He's just a star.
Well, they've got the Saints this week. And
he could kick 10.
I tell you what, yeah, put him down for 5.
But, yeah.
It could go as high as 10.
But also with Jenkins playing so well up forward, exactly. Doesn't leave a lot of options for Eddie. He's like that.
Well, when they're clunking the marks, that's not coming to ground as often.
And he's handballing a lot. Like he had a set shot from right near the boundary line and he handballed it straight off.
He had 14 hand passes this game. So. Yeah. It's like way more you expect from a little on-baller.
Boomer Harvey's crying for him.
Yeah. It would not surprise me at all if he's got a slight foot injury that he's hiding.
Yeah,
entirely possible.
And he's going for screamers now instead, so maybe he's just bored of goal of the year and he's trying for marketing.
Or maybe he wants to give everyone a head start rather than get it locked in the first 5 rounds.
Could be two. Parker's already he's put some good runs on the board there. All right, let's go to Good Friday. And the old cliche is it's a game of two halves. And thank God for that, because that I enjoyed hating on that first half more than I should have. to the fact that at halftime, I was looking through Twitter. I just did all the follow the hashtag. There were some rippers in there. And that was what I enjoyed when I got out of it.
Yeah. And you guys went to the game, didn't you?
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I heard that the pretty unruly Saints fans. I thought it was just Saints fans that we went to games with, but I heard the crowd behaviour there was pretty shocking.
There was a bit of a punch on.
They were pretty hammered by the time they got into the stadium, I was hearing.
Well, that's why, definitely why it's not a night game.
Yeah.
You never used to be able to sell beer before midday on Good Friday. I swear.
Juggies don't give a fuck.
Well, this game was at 4 o'clock, though, so...
No, it gives a few hours to get pissed, I suppose.
Yeah.
Have we told the listeners about Juggies yet?
I think we mentioned it in one of the...
If you want to see the worst possible attempt at a bar ever.
Actually, it's very good to bring it up during this game because, like I said, that first half was so bad that I enjoyed hating on it.
Yeah.
Juggies Restaurant looks about the same standard. It looks terrible. So if you know anything about Etihad Stadium, when you follow over the bridge and walk down past the NAB building, there's that, what do you call it, like a not a terrace.
Food alley,
yeah.
I suppose.
Yeah, so there's Nando's. And anyway, if you follow those restaurants all the way down to the end, is a restaurant called Juggies, and it's J-U-G-G-I-Z.
Something like that, yeah.
You find them on Facebook. You'll know when you reach it.
Facebook page is a cracker.
All I can say is...
It's just jizz with a double G in between.
It's for people that think Hooters is a little bit too classy.
Or expensive, or highly budgeted.
This place is still pretty expensive, and just looking at the... I haven't actually been in there, but their Facebook page was enough. Looking at the photos of the food on there was fucking hilarious.
I'm pretty sure one of them had a plastic plate with, like, a shitty barbecue on it.
Yeah, literally,
Here's what we're doing for our staff members. I'm like,
it was terrible.
Really?
Yeah.
Undercooked lamb and some out-of-the-bag salad.
They put, like, primary school sports carnivals to shame.
Oh, God damn.
But having said, I'm still going. I'm going to go at some stage.
One day. Yeah, I want to do a live podcast for them.
Not now.
Great.
Maybe we get sponsored in corn cobs or something.
Yeah. Beyond the first half, and I don't think we can say any more about it than it was terrible. The second half, North were okay, and that was good enough.
Yeah, yep. Well, I'm going to be honest, I didn't bother watching this game. I just followed along online. That's all the effort I was going to put into my Good Friday. I wasn't pulling myself away from a lot of good beers to watch this shit.
I think you're pulling back a bit. North okay. They kicked Ben Brown along and got 6 goals in the second half.
Yeah, they're okay. Saints were shithouse.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
They were absolutely terrible.
A 10-goal difference.
Yes.
You can't say it's just okay versus shit. It's like decent versus shit.
Well, if it was decent, they would have kicked 20. That's how bad the Saints were. I mean, Jared Waite was playing behind the ball, and they picked him out better than anybody at Carlton's ever picked out Jared Waite.
Yeah,
in his whole career.
Like, it's easy to get uncontested marks, but to get to where you can take that mark is the skill.
Yeah, but those ones who are standing still, he's like, oh, I'll stand here.
Yeah, he ran to the right position.
Yeah, he ran there 5 minutes earlier. I think there was a couple of times the Saints players called him and said, Jared, this way, mate.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, yeah, but Benny Brown, he started off terribly. But once he, I think he got a couple of Joe the Goose in the goal squares, and then he was right. He was right as rain. I counted 28 steps for his run up. But once he got the first one, he was like, all right, now I'm in. I'm on here. I'm on for a good day. And we ended up with 6.
Yeah, 6-1.
6-1. Yeah. Yeah, it's not a bad return.
Especially after like a first quarter of, was it one goal kicked?
Two goals, 10, both teams at halftime.
Wow. Yeah. It was the delivery into the forward 50 was shit, and the delivery to the goal square was shit.
Yeah.
On both sides. But, you know, in terms of highlights for the Saints, there aren't any.
No.
Like,
no.
Honestly, they will try and forget about this.
There's fans won't let them. Media won't let them. They're in a bit of shit unless they come out firing against whoever they play next week.
Adelaide.
Oh, shit. Yeah, all right. Good luck with that one.
Yeah, exactly.
They will get a fucking pantsing.
But they've always, everyone's already known that their back line is where they're suspect most.
Yeah.
And it seems like they've gone backwards yet again for another off-season when no one's standing up and players who are good players meant to be up forward are having to come back and help out, which screws the whole game plan going forward. And to be honest, I thought this is how shit North Melbourne would be. But I thought Saints, maybe they can start like keeping their head above water. Nah, this looks like another painful year for the Saints.
But then you know that they can turn it around in like a month's time.
Versus the Tigers.
And, you know, they'll kick 80 points and a half against the Tigers.
I think a big part of it too was Longa going down.
It didn't help.
With Cunnington's fair knee to the cods.
Yeah.
One of those incidents, but geez, it was a full-fledged knee to the nuts.
And you did notice that a little bit when he wasn't on the ground, like the structure for them broke down, but I mean, you've got to plan for those things. They got, you know, they got Membry, they got Bruce, they've got Carlisle even. They can do the pickup, as a spare ruckman or the extra ruckman. It just didn't really click for him at all. Jed Anderson, I thought, had a good game.
He had his best one.
Yeah,
in North colours.
Yeah, probably right.
Also, Benny Jacobs coming back.
Yeah,
he managed to do a bit of a towel up for. I think it was on Steele actually.
Stevens. Steven?
No, he wasn't on Steven.
Steel, okay.
He was on. I'm pretty sure he was on Steel. But either way, he got 18 touches and a goal, and had a nice goal, actually.
Yeah, it was. They all got around him.
Yeah, fair enough, too. But, you know, in a game that only really had one quarter of good football and one quarter of just sealing the match, you know, Ben Brown was the highlight. Billy Hartung wasn't embarrassed.
Yeah, his kicking still.
His kicking still suspect, but in the second half it was decent. And other than that, everyone will kind of just move on with it.
Yeah, it was lucky, but the downside of it as well is now, obviously, so much focus on a bad game means that the AFL is going to look at it and who plays on Good Friday. I mean, they haven't come out and said we're going to change it, but I think that they won't for next year.
Yeah,
but you can't do that again.
I think they'll change. I don't think St Kilda will get the job next year.
But that's it. Then if they go back to the Bulldogs or if they go to somebody else, that means they've changed it three times in 3 years. You know, pick somebody.
I think as long as there's a reason, and like we mentioned many times, I think North Carlton is the way to go.
Yeah, because they border the hospital.
Yeah, and also you can have an event where people start at the hospital, get sponsored every 100 metres they walk towards the ground or
do something.
End up at the hospital.
Yeah. Everyone goes back afterwards. But, you know, you can actually involve the hospital directly. And really bring that right into it. And I think you're adding Carlton, which is going to be more supporters, even though they'll hopefully be on the up. But we said that about St Kilda too, and they fucking aren't, or at least not so far. But, you know, more money for charity, more involvement, more meaning to the game, more meaning to the teams involved.
And hopefully a better crowd and a better TV. Because at the end of the day, that's what they're going
to
look at.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has to be entertaining.
Yep.
What was the crowd there, do you remember?
34?
Yeah, I think it was about 34.
Last year it was about
43. 40,
yeah.
Yeah. So it's down to last year, but the Bulldogs are coming off a flag. But yeah, it's still.
Was last year Rewalt's 500th game, whatever the fuck it was up to?
Nah, not this game. That was North. That was the 300 or.
Right.
Hats off for Rui. That might have been the year before.
Yeah.
All right, so that's leading us into Carlton, and they got dished up by the Suns with big Tommy Lynch just having a bit of a day out.
Yeah.
It's a shame for Liam Jones because he's had such a good year on halfback last year. But they had, you know, Sam Rowe and others to play the fullback, and he could play the second forward. But now he's got to play on the number one key forward week in, week out.
Yeah.
He's going to get found out a little bit because Wiedering's not old enough to do it yet.
No, he hasn't got that muscle behind him yet.
Or experience.
Yeah, yeah. And it's starting to look like it's starting to struggle, to be honest. He wasn't been a standout for the last couple of weeks. So,
I think they're depending too much on him.
Yeah, it is a little bit. And, you know, Doherty's obviously out for the year as well. So there was one experience down back, which he's not going to help with the high marking, but he sorts people out. So they've lost that down there as well. But the effort from Jones is still there. You can still see his hunger for it. And he's not making dumb mistakes. He's just getting beaten.
Well, I don't think he's ever lacked hunger. He's just lacked polish.
Yeah, he's made dumb mistakes.
Yeah. But he's one of the biggest turnarounds that we've ever seen.
Yeah. Really.
He went from a punchline to punching the ball over the line and doing it at the right time.
So if they picked All-Australian on half a season, he'd be in there last year.
Which isn't something you never would have said about him.
No.
But you're right. He's not... He's a handy backman in terms of the floating role and the second up. But as a prime toe-to-toe or shoulder-to-shoulder backman, he's not there.
No, not yet. And that's why Tommy Lynch kicked eight.
Yep. And yeah, it seems like they struggled in the middle as well. I mean, with no real clear ruckman. What's his name? Fucking...
Yeah, Cruiser's not there.
Cruiser's out. Yeah, you got fan favourite... Levi Casbolt doing the hitouts, and yeah, at least he got some hands on the ball, because he only got seven posies apart from his hitouts.
Yeah.
So it's always going to be a struggle and not really endear him to his fans. But yeah, they're still a young squad, but they should be doing a better fight than that against Gold Coast.
They've got their moments, and that's what they're always going through. Like Charlie Curnow had a few moments again, you know, but it's just putting them together. It got me thinking about this too, because we said last week, you know, they've got the core of a great side.
Yeah.
You know, they're young stars and stuff like that. But we said this before about Carlton.
Yeah.
Remember when they had Murphy, Gibbs, and Cruiser?
Yeah.
And, you know, they had injuries in form, and now Gibbs is gone, Cruiser's still injured, and Murphy's doing his best.
Yeah, even Menzel had some good games across halfback line.
Yeah, yeah. So they had that core before, and they just couldn't get everything else around it.
Yeah.
So
they didn't get rid of it. Didn't get rid of enough deadwood. They still had some reliabilities in key positions, which they didn't get rid of.
Well, they brought in Malthouse as despite.
Yeah.
No, that didn't help, obviously, but, you know, we've been through that.
Yeah, and Daisy Thomas was supposed to be the missing link.
He has improved, but he's never going to get back to his 2010 best.
Well, he's improved the level where he occasionally contributes.
Yep.
Instead of being utter liability.
Yeah.
And I think the only reason they haven't dumped him is because they have to pay his contract out.
Yeah.
Well, I think he took a cut, didn't he?
No, last year he fixed it up, so now it he's actually getting what he's worth.
Yeah. But yeah, they still got like.
Well, this might have been a swap then. Thomas and Lynch might swap roles next year.
They still got hoping like Charlie Curnow, Matty Wright. Also, who's the young kid they brought in? Jared Garlett.
Yeah.
He's had a good start of the season. So there is some hope there, but those kids are still going to have off games.
Exactly, yeah.
As long as Caswell's kicking less than 50%, they're not going to win.
Yeah.
Like, if you can, and that should be the bare minimum for a full forward.
But just quietly, too, on the other side of the ledger, though, the Suns, that's 2-0. They're in the top four. You know, it's only after two rounds, but Stewie Jew, who would have thought?
Yeah.
Undefeated coach of the Gold Coast Suns. Admittedly, they played, you know, North, who a lot of people predicted for the wooden spoon, and Carlton, who a lot of people predicted to be bottom four.
Yeah.
But you can only beat who you're up against, can't you?
Well, to be honest, Gold Coast would have been the talk for the spoon as well.
Yeah, yeah, not far off it.
Yep.
So they've overachieved already. I think a good season for them would be maybe five or six wins.
Yeah, I think so.
But, so to knock off almost half of them already.
And they're playing good. Playing good footy.
Yeah, we don't fluke 8-1, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Even Jared Lyons picked up 36, so they've still got some contributors there. I mean, there's always going to be talk about who's going to pick up the slack. Not pick up the slack, but who's going to be forced to actually do the work, or you not be relying on him. And I feel like there's got lots of contributors that are filling in that gap.
Well, and they've had a fair rehearsal. It's not like Applett's been in there week in, week out for the last couple of years anyway.
Yeah.
But the thing is, too, they've got a fairly easy run until round six where they play Adelaide.
That's when they start. Well, you say easy run, though. They're doing travelling. Because I think they've gone over to Perth now, and they're staying there for a week and a half.
Yeah,
they go to Perth for Dockers and then West Coast the week after.
Yeah.
But then they're out of home for an extended period with Commonwealth Games, yeah? Well,
that's now. That's why they don't play at Metricon.
Weren't you aware?
They don't play at Metricon until like round nine or something like that.
Yeah, I'll just interest in Commonwealth Games as soon as Bobby Knuckles said he's not wrestling.
Yeah, me too.
That's it for me.
I'm bitterly disappointed about that.
Mm.
But it makes sense.
Oh, it does. I just would have liked to have seen him have a crack.
Yeah.
All right, so on to the next one, which is Collingwood and GWS, which was memorable in the first quarter for all the wrong reasons. Poor old, Broomhead wrapping his leg around. And look, nothing, was it?
No.
But you can see, like, there was rubber legs around that goalpost, and everyone automatically brought up Anderson Silva.
Yep, that's exactly what I was thinking. The worst part was is that I was at work, so I was sort of just following along here and there. And someone said, oh, load, someone's broken their leg. I'm like, what do you mean they've broken their leg? Oh, on the goalpost. I was like, I do not want to see that.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the still was hit, was still picture was his leg bent around the goalpost. The like, still, ah, you bastard.
The still was worse than the vision.
Yeah.
Because the vision was so quick, you're like, yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, he's not getting up.
Yeah.
And then you see it in slow-mo or the still, you're like, okay, fuck that.
Yeah, yeah, so yep. Stop posting that shit because yeah. I don't want to see it.
Well, I was looking on the Reddit thread and they went, it reminds me of this one. I'm like, no.
Yeah, not clicking.
Don't need to see that. I've seen enough now.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And then Tom Scully went down. And as soon as he did, you go, yep, that looks broken as well.
He hooked himself.
It was his ankle, wasn't it?
Yeah. His ankle fell underneath him and he twisted it. But it's funny to say, but at least it was just the ankle.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
if it had have torqued further, if his knee wasn't bent, it would have torn his knee.
Yeah.
A full heel hook motion, and he would have been cactus for possibly forever.
But it's still bad, though. It's bad. What's his name? Troy Snell for Geelong. He did something similar once, and he never played again.
Yeah.
Probably still can't walk without a limp.
Yeah, Nathan Brown was never the same afterwards.
Who's that?
Nathan Brown was never the same afterwards.
When he broke his leg, yeah.
This is a good game, though.
It was decent.
All four quarters, both teams still in it, and even the swing in the last quarter was, you know, what had steal. One team was going to take it, and Collingwood came out the gates well, but yeah, Jitter West had too much talent at the end of there.
That's what it was, talent.
The concerning word about it, though, was Eddie said he's right behind Bucks, which we all know as soon as a chairman says that about the coach.
Yeah, except it's Eddie and Bucks.
I know. Yeah. Normally, that means we're about to stick the knives in, but if you wanted to do that, there's probably 4 or 5 seasons of opportunity.
Usually if they say we're right behind you, it's because they want to stick a knife in. Yeah. But with Bucks, with Eddie and Bucks, you could want to stick something else in. You know, that's why he's right behind him.
Collingwood were 2 goals up in the final quarter.
Yeah,
so
they had the play.
They were in the game.
But they're running out of soldiers too, because I think Darcy Moore went down as well. I think he's done a hammy. Not sure.
They're thin on all ends of the injury list. Yeah. So it's another season they're going into with bad injuries. And I mean, obviously, wrapping your leg around goalposts is an anomaly, but a lot of them other are hammies and different things that seem to be, I don't know, there's got to be something to it.
Well,
it probably is.
I know Moore, Elliot, and who else is out? The whole forward line.
DeGoey, Jared Blair.
Yeah.
Their forward line is pretty much gone, and kicking goals is their issue at the moment.
Yeah, and on top of that, I mean, Mason Cox is suspended as well. Not that he was a a great player or anything, but he was a bit of a liability the week before. But still, it's another one. There's somebody else. On the good side of it, though, Brodie Grundy had a great game.
Yeah.
He's a superstar.
Yeah.
He's only, 23?
He's younger than you think. Yeah.
Is he really?
Shit. He's just a kid.
He might be a year or so older than that, but no more. I think his progression really has been very steady as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like he's had a breakout. He's just gradually got better year on year.
Yeah, that's I think as
what
well.
What you want from your big men.
Yeah, and he's gone up against like the best and always held his own, which I think is the most important, and made them accountable around the ground. He's a big, solid unit too, reliable. I mean, he hasn't broken down for a while, has he?
He doesn't make dumb mistakes either, which is, for a ruckman, that's really one of the key points.
He's not lazy as well, which is really good. Yeah. He's not really a lumbering ruckman.
And if he's having a shot from 40 out, you got fair confidence in him.
Yeah, yeah.
Other pose like other ruckmans where you go, come on, handball it. Somebody else. Anybody with you. The knives aren't out for Bucks yet, but they play Carlton this week, so that'll be interesting.
If they don't get up against there, then definitely there's going to be a little bit of a murmur.
Yeah.
Maybe not from the Collingwood faithful, but everyone else will definitely be turning the thumbscrews to get that ball rolling.
Saturday night.
Oh, Grundy's turning 24 next match.
There you go. There you go. Brisbane Lions hosting Melbourne. It's a bit annoyed me that there was a lot of focus before the game of Lewis versus Hodge, because I thought one, they played against each other before, but two, those two players aren't the future of these two clubs.
Yeah, yeah.
And these clubs have good futures ahead of them. I mean, it's interesting, but it shouldn't have been focused on as much as it was.
The least interesting matchup on the field, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, it was.
They didn't really match up. That's kind of the thing.
Opposite ends of the field, pretty much. Just about. But Maxi Gawn came out and had a good one, which he needed after missing the big one last week.
Yeah, yep. But I thought, it was a good effort by both teams. Brisbane have been one that haven't been able to put four quarters together. They didn't give up. They came back, had lots of contributors. Also good to see, Melbourne actually getting to a well-oiled machine-like efficiency. Still missing some players, so I feel like they got lots of people that were stepping up when they needed it. And, you always want to be able to beat Brisbane, but especially getting the win away from home.
Yeah.
Very important this early in the season.
Well, especially they had a draining affair the week before.
Yeah.
So these are the ones where, in the past, Melbourne have slipped up.
Yep.
But it wasn't anything flash. It was four goals against last year's Wooden Spooners.
Yeah.
Good enough.
Yeah.
One of you should meet Clayton Oliver, 22 contested possessions.
Yeah, it's not bad.
That's pretty decent.
Means he's around it a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Means he's getting stuck in.
8 tackles as well, so he's still chasing it when he hasn't got it.
Yeah, for a bloke that one of the most famous pictures of him is diving, he's a hard bastard.
Yeah.
Well, being a red nut, you have to be.
Well, it's genetic.
Also, the Brisbane getting some return on Charlie Cameron, kicking three.
He's done well.
There.
He's done well both weeks.
Yeah.
He's a star.
And I thought he was great at Adelaide last year too. He was really improving all season long. And now he's probably feeling a bit more comfortable because he's close to family as well.
Yep.
But there's more reliance on him in Brisbane than there was back home.
Yeah.
He could be their leading goal kicker.
Maybe that's what he needs. Wants to have that space and that freedom and that sort of focus on him.
Yeah,
he's always going to be sort of second and third in that forward line in Adelaide.
Look, it goes both ways, doesn't it? It means like Eddie Betts is getting the best small defender.
Yeah,
he gets the second one.
Yeah,
now he's probably going to get the best one, but he seems to be going right.
I feel like as a player, you want those challenges. You want to be going against the best. So metal sharpens metal.
And Melbourne's got Hibbard down back. He was all Australian last year, so there's no slouches around him, even if he's not playing on him all the time.
Yep.
All right, we'll move on to Frio's first home game at the new Optus Stadium against Essendon and put on a good show.
Yeah. Honestly, much better than I thought they would.
Yeah, me too. I tipped Essendon in this one. I thought they'll have all their early season momentum. But Frio, it wasn't all flash, but there was certainly a good grind.
Oh, they just wouldn't be denied.
Yeah.
And plenty of times I saw Fife run forward and take telling marks, like pack marks with three or four around him. He was looking very good.
Yeah, he's still that 5% off his absolute best, which is scary if he gets that good.
I mean, his absolute best is just spectacular.
Yeah.
He was a star player. He isn't at a superstar level, but he can get there this season.
Big Joey Danaher kept very, very quiet, looked slow and out of sorts.
Yeah, which is, we were picking him as common, weren't we? Him,
Franklin's still Franklin. For mine, but certainly top three.
Well, many people were, so it was interesting to see him get held down by a Freo defence that was also questionable, we thought, in the off-season.
Inexperienced.
Yeah. So it's a good win for them.
I think Danaher's overrated. I think if his name was John Smith, he wouldn't have been talked about in the same way that he is.
Yeah, I mean...
Maybe that's controversial. I don't know.
I agree. I just can't be fucked poking that argument. I'll wait until, wait until it's certain. People can't go, see, I fucking told you he's like useless. And he's kicked six in a row
he's
for
definitely not useless.
5 weeks.
He's obviously... His best is very good, but his worst is...
Often.
Yeah, and still far apart. This is probably close to his worst.
Yeah, and I was still expecting Essendon to go over there and get a win after a big win last week, was it? Last week?
Yeah, against Adelaide
at home. But Frio pulled together. Good to see them give something back to their fans. I'm surprised it's lucky there's only two teams in that town because their fans would not be sticking around and rocking up the games. But yeah, it was good to see them put a win on the board. They're the first home winner at Optus.
Yep.
Is that right?
West Coast haven't won there yet.
They reckon it was the most hostile environment for them because it's a full bowl. The voice and the crowd just really reverberates.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And even the commentators are saying, this is the most oppressive, just one-sided crowd they've ever been in.
They weren't there when GWS played Richmond, obviously.
It was the light show, apparently, for those in attendance was amazing, but it looked terrible on TV. But anyway, it's more about the people in attendance.
It's going to be better than the fireworks of the Tigers games, I'm sure.
Guarantee it was.
Oh, it's a brilliant stadium. Like everything about it is just spectacular. It's probably built for everyone.
Yeah. I'm glad it's just bigger. because Subi was it made for not as attractive footy, I thought.
Yeah, I think so too.
But anyway, I think both West Australian teams will benefit from it more as well, because it's closer to the dimensions of all the other grounds. It's not as unique, which is a disadvantage for home games, but an advantage for the rest of the season for them.
Now, are they playing cricket there as well?
Yes. Yes, they play the T20 there this year.
Yeah, but they're not playing tests. Tests will be at the WAC.
I think so. But, you know, I think they'll play like England and South Africa and India at the WACA, and the other nations at... or the other way around, sorry. They'll play the other nations at the WACA and the big ones at Optus. I don't know, but they still haven't sorted it out. Because if they think they can get a bigger crowd, they'll go to the bigger stadium.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure how it's going.
It depends on the sort of pitch we need, I guess.
Exactly. all right, so we'll move on to Easter Sunday with the Bulldogs and the Eagles. Were the Eagles good or the Bulldogs just that disappointing?
To me, it's the Bulldogs.
Yeah.
I don't want to join on the bandwagon of giving them a kicking. But,
yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
They did not want to be out there.
It does look tired, doesn't it?
They're in all sorts. Like, even people are saying, even the Bont, who's usually been such a consistent performer, he looked like he was struggling. I don't know if it's motivation or it's just, you know, lots of other things going on.
I'm of the opinion that that is just how he plays. Now, he is very, like, laconic, people would say, of his style, but it can be late. It's laconic when they're winning and it's lazy when they're losing.
Yeah.
Collingwood supporters
when they're winning.
Yeah.
Collingwood supporters wouldn't say that. They wouldn't know what it meant.
No. But, I mean, West Coast were great. I mean, something else out of this game, all three marks of the week came from the one game.
Really?
That's probably happened before, but, you know, I thought it was interesting. And one of them wasn't very decent, but...
Yeah, it must be a bit sort of thin round for quality marks.
Yeah.
It's interesting, this game. When you look at the stats, if you didn't see any of the kicks or the score, it looks like it would have been an even game, which really shows how much Western Bulldogs just fucked around when they had the ball.
9-16.
Yeah. So it just shows the lack of... That's the thing that they've really prided themselves on, something that helped them get to their premiership flag, was their ability to use the ball well, link up,
their hustle
down the middle. Yeah. And that's one thing that's sort of just gone away. I don't know if there's a team dynamic in the rooms that's just not the same, or obviously some players on the outer.
Well, I think, you know...
Maybe they're missing Travis Cloak.
Stringer's gone now. There's no more 16-year-old girls turning up.
It's 18 months since their flag, and they had, I think, 11 of that... 22 out there.
Yep.
So that's still a decent amount.
Just turned around,
But, you know, Boyd's playing in the VFL. Mitch Wallace, I don't think he was back for this one.
No, he's in the VFL too. Libertore's obviously done.
He's done for the season.
He's done. Another couple out.
Clay Smith, I think. And I think I read that Jordan Roughhead's got injured in this one.
Oh, shit.
There's another one that they've got to deal with. So they are a bit of a revolving doors, but it is a bit early to start calling for a premiership coach's head in round two.
Oh, shit, yes.
Sure.
Especially when he's broken a 50-year drought.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. He's doing okay. They're not going to bother him, you know, for a couple of years, I don't think.
I think Lin Jong's going to be pissed off. He's
well, you had to look at what his alternative was.
Yeah, that's true.
But anyway. But West Coast coming along nicely, and Nick Nat doesn't look like he's lost anything. He'll get mark of the week.
Yep.
But it's amazing to come back with that athleticism after an ACL.
Yeah, but I've always felt like he would be. He's always seemed pretty resilient, but he's got so many aspects to his game that he's probably one of the few players that can play around injury a lot more than any other big man can.
Yeah, and just being that athletic, you know, his body heals differently.
Yeah.
Perfect example is Segler did his knee in the exact same game.
Yeah.
He's not up, you know, for full training yet.
Shit.
Nat Nui's played two games in the AFL. Obviously, different people, different knees, but, you know, it just, I thought that was interesting just to see how good he's come back quickly. All right, we'll go on to one of the matches of the round, Sydney and Port Adelaide. Again, another game of two halves, because Port... we looked like they were just holding back the damn walls in the first half, and then in the third quarter, it just clicked for them. It just worked.
Well, that's always the thing that everyone said about Port. It's when it does click for them, they're scary. Yeah. They're a real quick team, and it's very hard to peg that back.
And it started with Boak.
You mean minor premiers, Port Adelaide?
That's the one.
Well, it's not looking that silly now, is it?
No, it's looking fucking great.
A lot of people put the Swans, you know, in top two, and they've knocked the Swans off at home again.
Yeah.
So you might have regretted putting it in there, but it might turn out to be genius. And if you didn't put money on it, then that's the idiotic thing, isn't it?
Tell you, you've got to put up money on making a big call like that.
You got to.
I think I did. I just have to check one of my 43 betting apps that I've now got from watching television.
Yeah, blame someone else. Buddy's still kicked four, and including a snap from 50, around the corner from 50 off two steps. I don't know if he even looked at the goals. As soon as it came off the boot, you could see it fly, and you go, yeah, it's going in. Don't worry about it.
To be fair, I feel he's like a homing pitch in the SCG. He just knows where the goals are.
He probably
would. That's just where he spent most of his time. But yeah, another team member from Port Adelaide. I mean, they've got a lot more sort of stars on their team, but they don't play. Don't rely on a single star in order to get their wins. They need to have a well machine, which starts from running off that half back line. And yeah, obviously, I think Robbie Gray has come back and played some good footy. Hustled as well, got 10 tackles in there. So it's not just when they got the ball what they're doing; it's when they don't have the ball is almost just as important.
Mm. Watts did fuck all.
Yeah, but you're going to have those games.
You didn't need to.
They got more. They got good Motlop, which, you know, there's bad Motlop and good Motlop, and they've had good Motlop so far. And Rockliffe's been Rockliffe. Although, how many touches did Rockliffe get? I'm going to guess 23, 24?
No, 9.
Rockliffe?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. All right.
Fuck all. Two tackles.
Must have been the thing about last week. But I did say he wouldn't be getting his 35s that he's been averaging up at Brisbane. Yeah. Anyway, there you go. I thought he had more than that.
And that really just scares the rest of that top four about, you know, how is this all going to pan out? Because there's been some heavy casualties this weekend.
Yeah.
And so puts it all up in the air going into the next few rounds.
But geez, they've got some momentum, Port.
Yeah.
But Port aren't a high possession team. Like, they tend to be very direct.
Yep, and they move it very quick.
Which I like watching them. I think they play that really nice direct. Rather than flood and do the side pass handball, they just go long kick, long kick, long kick.
Here's one for you. It's like the Lakers of the 80s. It's just all run and gun.
Yeah, sure.
Don't worry about setting it up. We'll get it down there quick and we'll go from there.
Who would be the Magic?
You got to say probably Robbie Gray.
Yeah, I'd say so.
He's where it starts. Or Boak, but yeah, Gray's got more flash.
Yeah.
Is Dixon Jabbar?
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen Jabbar drop marks, so I haven't seen his skyhook yet.
Is Ollie Wines worthy?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I want to see how many more players you can name.
Byron Russell, was he back there? In that
Byron
time?
Scott.
Byron Scott, sorry.
Yeah, and Kurt Rambis, if you're going for a nerdy. So there's Jack Watts.
Isn't there a Larry or something?
Yeah, Bird. Sure. He played for him.
Yep. Perkins. Larry Nance.
Yeah, the Swans, though, 1-1, but after going 0-6 last year, just like, whatever.
It's not so bad,
They know they'll turn it on.
Well, that's it. Yeah. They've shown, for having a crap first half of the season, how they can turn around, and they haven't had a crap start this season. They've played very competitively in both games, obviously, you know, 1-1, but I still like to see them be able to put more of a fight in that last quarter at home against Port.
They feel like they got smothered, and that's usually what they do to other teams.
Yep.
Do you think they even had voting for goal around this week?
This week? I don't know. I know Buddy was up there. I can't remember what the other ones were. Why? Who do you think has got it?
Parker.
It was the week before.
Oh, yeah. Did I meant goal of the year.
Yeah.
Whether they just decided to put
it
in the fucking
racket.
He's
got it the week before.
He's the mulligan this
week. It was so good you get it two for one. All right, and then finally on to the last game, Easter Monday, Hawthorn and Geelong. It's exactly what you'd expect it to be.
Yeah, except I didn't expect it to be this. Expected it to be a pretty one-sided affair, to be honest.
Oh, Geelong were robbed.
I was going to the game just hoping, I hope the Hawks don't get flogged.
Yeah, I thought it'd be, that's exactly what I thought most Hawks supporters would be going to the game thinking. I didn't imagine it'd be as competitive for four quarters.
Yeah, be competitive. That's what we were hoping for.
Yep.
You know, we've still got some young lads that need some game time in there.
Yeah. But even though blowing it out in the second quarter, you just always have that feeling like, all right, now Geelong will turn it around and they'll start to pick it up.
Exactly.
It didn't happen.
Well, I mean, it did eventually.
Well, it did, but it wasn't an easy round, all right, now we'll try and we'll get the game. It was still hard fought for them to claw their way back.
Well, who was it that went out early? Burgoyne.
Burgoyne.
That was a massive out.
Set out after the first quarter. And I think there was a player for Geelong as well, a first gamer, who got concussed late in the first.
Yeah, that's not as big of an out as Burgoyne.
No, it's not. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. The most experienced and the least experienced person on the ground both left the game early.
I think one of the most impressive people in the Geelong squad has been the youngster Tim Kelly.
Hasn't he?
Who's two games in, and if anywhere, you'd think you're not going to be able to get much of the ball with the quality of players that Geelong have on the ground. But he's really just found his way around it. No fear.
Finds his own ball
and
makes good decisions.
Getting Duncan back in is going to be hard. And he's a star. That's it, yeah.
When Duncan does come back in, you're not going, all right, you've had your two games, you're out. You go, well, you've earned your fucking spot.
How's the back flank sound, champ?
Yeah. Yeah, you got to find him. Yeah. You got to find somewhere for him.
Enjoy it back there, Duncan.
But the problem for Geelong is obviously in key backman. Because when it came down to it, Ruffy was... Yeah, Hawks weren't delivering well into the forward line. They were bombing it long, and Ruffy was outmarking Zach Guthrie.
Yeah.
Now you say, okay, they lost Mackie and they lost Lonergan to retirement. Then Harry Taylor and Lockie Henderson are both injured.
Yep.
But you got to pick somebody else then. Or, you know, if you've lost two potential key backmen over the offseason, who are you replacing them with?
I don't know. I wonder if we put someone like Blitzars on.
Exactly. I was thinking you had to switch Blitzars on there because also he can run as well, and you got to pull Ruffy out of that forward line because, he's going to be very, very dangerous.
I think they did for a little bit, but not for much.
Or not when it counted, you know, even though it was only a point that he kicked at the end. It was the winning point, wasn't it? So
we'll sacrifice Zach Tui and just tell him go down there, punch him in the ribs,
do something.
The ball champ. He did ball on the ball today. Actually, I think he got 20 kicks or something like that. So
20 kicks.
Can't really complain with that.
And you know all his kicks are too. They're running forward, sprinting 10 meters, and booting at 40, 50, 60.
But they lost, so he could have sacrificed 10 of those kicks and gone and punched Ruffy in the guts.
He had some nice torps out of full back.
Yeah. Mm. Yep.
He really leaned into a few.
Yep.
But I thought where the game was really won was in the ruck, and McAvoy was dominant all day.
Yeah, and I mean, McAvoy, he's never been touted as like, the best ruckman. He's a make-do ruckman, do what you're going to do. And so to have that much success against that midfield, I thought, obviously there's a lot of planning that's going to go into how they're actually going to get those clearances and get that first use of the ball, and it's paid off.
Well, you look at centre clearances, Tom Mitchell had as many as Ablett, Dangerwood, and Dangerfield and Selwood put together.
Yeah, and I mean, Tom Mitchell still had another lazy
40 touches, two goals.
It's ridiculous.
I thought this is the best I've seen O'Meara in Hawks colours too.
Third time I've seen him in Hawks colours.
I think literally his sixth game. I'm off memory, but yeah, it was.
He was solid,
but I'm going with what a few others have said, that Tom Mitchell averaging 47 touches really says a lot more about the rest of the midfield.
Yeah, for sure.
It was a good outing from Jager, but what was he, 22 touches?
21,
there you go. And Liam Shields had 10 tackles or 13 tackles or something, which he always does. But you do need to spread it around a little bit more.
Yeah.
But what impressed me about Tom Mitchell was I watched it more around the stoppages. Like all good midfielders, they get, held at stoppages. Happens to all of them. The amount of work he puts in to get free is amazing.
Right.
And that's why he gets so many clearances. And then, if he doesn't, somebody else gets it. You find out, 10 seconds later, he's out on the wing all by himself.
Yep.
You go, who's running with him? Like, no one, because he's left them.
The work's done at the stoppage.
Off he's gone. And that's why he gets so many of those touches. I did not see him once do the, somebody's taken a mark on half back and run around behind to get that little dinky handball.
Yep. Surely they're going to play a tagger on him at some stage.
Somebody's got to.
Well, Geelong don't have taggers because their midfield's too crowded with midfielders.
Exactly.
He's got really good pummeling skills, so he gets free.
Exactly, maybe. He works hard because he's got to do it every week.
Yeah.
Speaking of keeping busy, Jarman Impey, I thought he was, I've seen him be lazy prior, but he was very, very busy this match.
I heard somebody on the radio was talking about it. Like, they've said, mate, we've got a great midfield. You're going to get a run through there. And he's become that hard runner. This is what you can do, and we need it.
Yeah.
And he's doing great. Some of his passing too was immaculate.
Yeah. And he was always an option up forward. Even when they didn't kick to him, he was able to draw the Geelong defence wide, so Ruffhead had a run at it.
Yeah, you got to worry about him.
Yeah.
You do.
A lot of criticism on Rioli as well for not doing a whole lot. But I mean, the team won, and also it was Poppy's 150th game.
I think it was.
Something like that. I feel like Silver's went, this is your chance, mate. You go out there, take some hangers.
But, pound for pound, that's about his 90th game.
We have this this discussion all the time with Rioli. And it was the same last week too. There was one stage of the game where he's had two touches, but he's caused three goals.
Yeah.
Drop him.
Like, trade him.
If he was on the open market, I'd give you a tip. There'd be 17 teams trying to grab him. Anyway, that's what it does. But the pressure of the game was amazing. And that's, one of the things that he does, and Poppy as well.
Yeah.
They're such terriers. But Geelong still had, there was a couple of times in the Blitzarves when he ended up with a goal. Geelong moved it from goal square to goal square without one clean possession.
Right.
But they still got it there.
Yeah.
It's just monster. It's not all luck.
You talk about Pioppolo, he has fantastic controlled aggression. Like, he's always angry.
Yeah.
He's always, always hungry for the ball. But then you look at Sicily, that's uncontrolled aggression.
Yeah. I like how they, you know, they back him. We say we like when he plays close to the edge. And this isn't close to the edge. This is clearly over it.
Dropping knees into a Brownlow medal winner.
Selwood hasn't won one.
No, he hasn't, sorry.
Maybe a gold medal for diving, but...
Into an umpire's favourite. Very, very poor choice. I understand it.
Holding the man, that's all I've got to say.
Yeah, I understand. I understand the sentiment. Don't get me wrong. And let's face it, I'm just surprised Selwood didn't start bleeding as soon as he looked at him. But you can't do that. And I think the 1 week is for stupidity as much as anything else.
Hawthorn and King, they're so bad at getting suspended and not injuring people.
Yeah.
They always do it. I mean,
to be fair, they do punch people in the face quite regularly,
and don't injure them.
This is true.
You see it all the time. Somebody gets a bump, they're a concussion, they're out of the game. If you're going to get reported, you're going to do a week out. At least make sure the other bloke feels it.
That's what I think.
They're the king of not doing enough. But yeah, with the Sicily one, it's a shame that that's taken so much focus of what was an absolute ripper of a game.
Yeah.
But when Selwood grabbed him by the ankle and he fell forward, like, oh, fair enough, okay, you can't really control where you're falling.
Yep.
Then when you go back for a second one, you kind of lost the high ground, haven't you?
Yeah, I think that's technically sexual assault.
cut the balls, that's all you've got to do. But anyway, it was a fantastic game. And like we said,
good to see the rivalry's still there too. Ken's back. It's what happened.
Yeah. Even as a Hawthorn supporter watching, you're like, they're going to win this.
Yeah.
That's going to happen again. Anyway,
one thing I have noticed, get away with one. What about Hawthorn supporters? They all seem to give players their own unique nicknames. I don't mean unique for the player. I mean unique for that particular supporter. Like Gunston was Tommy Gunn to the bloke down the front.
Was he?
Yeah. And then someone was something Storm. And then there's Sissy and Sicky and Boot. I don't know why they're calling Sicily Boot, but
he might have just had a lisp. And you thought it's a different nickname.
This is like three other people.
Yeah.
Like three different. So, I don't know. Maybe they had a creative writing session at Hawthorn? I don't know.
I don't know what you're talking about. At least we call them by their right names.
What are you talking about? We're rid of those guys.
Less supporters.
By the way, Lindsay Thomas kicked 6 goals in the sample.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. Anyway. All right, so let's have a quick look to round 3 then. We got the Friday night blockbuster of Carlton sitting 12th versus Collingwood sitting 16th.
Yep.
Like I said, if Carlton get over the line here, that really makes things ugly.
Carlton 17th, aren't they?
Yep.
Oh, 17th. It just updated. I swear to you. I looked at it and it says 16th and it just updated.
I'm on Carlton because I think they can kick goals.
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, I'm on the Collingwood wreck train. Honestly, a ball of flames. So.
I think it's a great result that somebody loses.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to be watching for.
I just want to see how much pressure sort of that whole let's get behind Buckley thing can withstand. Yeah. Like, you know, there's no use building a damn wall unless it gets tested. So I want to see how much pressure they can actually withstand. Let's pump it on them.
I want to see Curnow put in a full four-quarter effort and kick 7.
Yeah.
Imagine if you had this team on the field. Like, you had Doherty in there. You had Cruiser in the middle. You had Jared Pickett running around. Alex Savani. Daniel Wells around the midfield. Darcy Moore going up forward. Chris Mayne in there. Levi Greenwood around the middle. Tyson Goldsack and Tim Broomhead. The team that's off is better than the two teams that are on.
Wow.
Pretty close to it.
Jesus.
Yeah. It's not a bad injury list there. But who are you picking?
No, I'm on Carlton.
I'm on Carlton.
I think Carlton by a good 4 goals. Because I think the scoreline's going to be more about Carlton's accuracy.
Yep.
So keep a Casbolt.
I was going to say, you're relying on Carlton's accuracy.
Let him sit at centre forward and say, look, mate, just push it forward. But if you think you're going to take shots from 38, fuck off. Handball.
I'm actually going to tip Collingwood because I think that Grundy's going to have a day out. If he's giving it down to Treloar and Pendlebury, I think they might have enough. And eventually, like, I think Collingwood have been more impressive in their losses than Carlton has. Carlton's got the burst, but Collingwood's got longer. They'll grind.
Yeah.
Port Adelaide are hosting the Lions. It could get nasty.
At Adelaide Oval, Port Adelaide are going to get a percentage behind Port.
Yeah, minor premiers, it's just where they start to charge.
Yeah, I think it's going to be
that's what happens.
They're looking for percentage early on here. And then the match of the round, the streak. Where is the streak at the minute? 17?
17.
Melbourne versus North Melbourne at the MCG.
Yeah, so Stringer can't be involved with it anymore if it goes to 18. But I've actually gotten a lot of value out of this. old mate Ricky, who's a staunch Melbourne supporter, I've been getting stuck into him
all
week.
He's been on the podcast before from Sports Berserk.
Yeah, I've been getting stuck into him a fair bit because I'm worried. I'm pretty confident this will be the last time I can, so I'm making it well worth it.
You've got to appreciate, for all the shit that Melbourne's been through in the last decade or so, North Melbourne have gone, yeah, I don't care. This is all we got. We're fucking driving this one through.
Well, it's the last must-win game for North. After Good Friday, you know, we've got that banked somehow.
Do you play them in Hobart later in the year?
No, I only play them once.
You only play them once. Oh, Jesus Christ. If they get up, if North get up, you pack it in. You're done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're just heading home, looking at the draft on the way. You know, just checking out. There's been tons of banter about it. The other thing I did find too, they're so desperate to get over North, they've started to emulate North, and they've decided to get rid of Pokies.
Love it.
So yeah, they're going, yep, right, and Pokies. We're really serious about this shit now.
As if there was any other better sign that Joseph Kudnick wasn't looking after the club anymore. He filed with bankruptcy, by the way. But
nah, it's not real bankruptcy.
So yeah, exactly. Melbourne North.
Yeah, I think I'm. Yeah. Oh fuck it, let's get on the North train. Why not?
I want to talk myself out of North. my unsurmountable optimism. Look, just thinks we could get it.
There is nothing wrong with being biased as long as you're honest. That's all I say. So be biased. Go for it.
Well, I'm trying to convince myself of it, and I'm looking at it just going, yeah, you know, well, Ben Brown will kick a few. That's
Benny
fine.
Brown can have a day out.
And then I'm like, we've got a back line that's actually in good form with Tarrant. Thompson had a great match.
Tarrant versus Jesse Hogan. Jesse Hogan kicked six, I think,
this
last
sounds
week,
like the same way you play time. 500.
No.
My partner's take four tricks.
I've got seven of spades. It'll definitely get up there.
I mean, I'm looking on the, the app, and apparently there's three Ben Browns playing, so
good
fuck, we're looking damn good.
You know what? The weird thing is, for the first time in a long time, the ruck could be where North is vulnerable.
Yeah.
Bruce may come back in, but Gawn could get off the chain.
The other concern I have about this is that the top story in North's AFL corner is how good Majak Dore was in the back line. VFL practice match.
I did hear this. Wow. It's his best VFL game ever.
And look, probably is.
Jesus.
There's only two ways that this can go. Either he did have a spectacular game and it's a revolution Liam Jones level.
Yep.
And he comes in very quickly. Or they're talking him up to try and get his value up to the end of the season.
Good luck.
If he kicked 15 in the back line, then I'd be impressed. I'd be like, yeah, fair enough.
It is VFL. It's a practice match.
I've always said that, you know, JLT series means nothing. Practice games mean nothing. But VFL practice games mean even less.
Yep.
But anyway, who knows? You're right. He could come in and be a star.
But having said that, I don't want to look at moving Robbie Tarrant out. Vickers Willis has had a good match. Thompson, next year, Thompson's probably going to be done.
Yep.
So, look, have a crack. You're going to be 29 by then. He'll be the one person to have long service leave with playing less than 10 matches. But
I think the D's will still win, but you could see it getting to their head that the hoodoo is there, and they might choke late.
You just want to see a nice crowd there.
Yeah. Suns travelling over to Optus Stadium to play Frio, like we said, but they're staying over there for the week as well. This is actually going to be an all right game, I think.
Yes,
I think they match up very well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I do. I think they match up well as well.
This whole Suns on the road thing could turn out to be a bit of a blessing in disguise, where it actually gets their culture back together and
could be
the thing that really turns them around as a club.
But they're playing attractive footy. I mean, they haven't extended themselves beyond some lowly teams, but. This is a good chance for them to win a big away win.
Yeah, well, I think they're trying to. I think Freo are trying to be the flat track bullies because both Hills are out.
No, I think Stephen's coming back in.
He's come back in, is he?
He will come back in, but Brad Hill's definitely out for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I still think they're going to lack a bit of pace. So I'm actually jumping on Suns. I think they'll get this.
Yeah, well, I think the Suns are a good chance too.
And they'll maybe by the end of the round be top two.
Yeah, 3-0.
Yeah, I think I'm going to jump on the Dockers. I think it's just based on last week's performance, it's hard to go against them, against a side like Essendon. But I haven't really liked the Dockers that much, to be honest. But it seems like this may be where they turn their turning form.
Yeah. Here's a cracker of a game, the Sydney Derby. Sydney and GWS. Where is it? This is at the SCG. Franklin's there's gonna be a lot of weight on his shoulders, as there always is.
Yeah.
But Phil Davis, Buddy Franklin, is a great matchup.
It is. Yep. Also, that midfield battle is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
They've got now GOS have cleared out a lot of their,
and
midfield talent.
Lost Tom Scully as well. Yeah. That hurts. So their depth is going to be tested now because they keep giving midfielders away to all the other clubs.
Yeah, but you just like to see Toby Green come out there and really stick it to him, you know, get on the front foot.
If he comes in, they're a two-goal side, a two-goal better side.
Yep. He was a late out this week, so if he comes back in, there's an all-Australian half-forward to go up against someone like Nick Smith or Dane Rampey. That makes for a great evening as well. So I think this is going to be one of the best, what do they call it, Battle of the Bridge?
Yeah, we've got to change that name.
It'd be one of the best rivalry games for them, I think, and really hard to tip. But I'm going to go Sydney.
Yeah, I think I'm on Sydney as well. I think it'll be a close one. This will be a seesawing match, but I think Sydney will get over the line.
I think if Green's fit, I'm GWS. But I won't hedge, I'll just GWS it.
Saints are hosting the Crows at Etihad. Ouch. That's what you want. Coming off your worst game you've played in God knows how long. To front up against last year's minor premiers.
God, I'd love to see him win. I'd love to see him win.
Oh, that'd be terrible, wouldn't it?
I can't tip it, but fuck, I'd love it.
In defence, if you're looking for a reason to go for it, both Crouchers are going to be out. Sloan's out. Lynch is probably going to be gone.
You reckon Sloan's out?
Apparently.
Yeah, I reckon he'll come back. I reckon he'll play.
I reckon if you were playing St Kilda, you're going to put him on ice. Because if you're coaching Adelaide, you think, look, I'm not going to risk one of our best players, if not the best player.
I reckon Adelaide are going to force feed Eddie Betts. And that's why I put him down for five.
They're going to turn him into pate.
I think Gibbs could get 50 touches with all that rest of the talent out.
And, Eddie Betts might outscore what St Kilda kicked last week.
Yeah, if they couldn't hold Ben Brown, they definitely can't hold Jenkins and Walker.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Something desperate's got to change.
Well, I'm just saying kick to your team. I think that's a good place to start.
Good place to start.
And forward 50 entries will be what they'll look to improve because it can only improve.
Yeah, you can't get worse. It literally can't. On to Sunday, we've got the Tigers and the Hawks at the MCG. Tigers have had the wood over the Hawks the last couple of years.
They have. They haven't had a confident start of the season, though. I mean, they weren't that confident looking against Carlton in round one, and obviously had that loss against the Crows. So with Hawks hitting a bit of form against Geelong, this is really probably going to be a much better game than we would have thought during the season.
How much long are you expecting Rioli out for?
He played the last around 2 weeks. Four, oh, Daniel Rioli, yeah, sorry.
Around, I think it was round four to round six.
Yeah, a while.
Yeah. He's just started training again, too.
Yeah, so still a bit.
Caddy out hurts.
It does. He's always been an easy goal kicker.
But Sicily probably would have played on him.
Yeah.
So there's your, what do you call it in politics? Your pairs or your twins. So there's your pairs. But Burgoyne out hurts.
That's the massive one.
Yeah. I think the weight of possession in, sorry, the number of forward 50s from Richmond is really what's going to get him over the line on this one.
And with no Frawley there to shoulder to shoulder.
He may come back. But you don't know. He was a laid out this week.
I don't think it's a good matchup for Riewoldt anyway.
Probably not.
I think Riewoldt's a bit too mobile.
Yeah.
Mind you, Riewoldt misses the first one, all of a sudden he's having a shit game.
They're going to send Daniel Howe to Dusty Martin. It's not whether you can stop him. You just want to, maybe he only kicks three goals instead of five.
Yeah, just stop him setting up the loose running play as well. Because a lot of time he gets that hand pass and he's very quick. Him and Edwards are the ones that sort of have the quick hand pass and off they go.
Do you reckon he's just spending all his time how to fend off Don Argues?
He did spend a fair bit of time to figure it out.
I'm sure he gets plenty of attention off the field.
Teach him an arm drag and you'll say.
Ruffy, like we said, took Sam Guthrie to task last week. Bit harder with against Rance, I think.
Yeah.
So. I still think that's a good matchup, though, because Ruffy does have a lot better leap than Rance, but Rance is a lot more mobile and reads the ball brilliantly.
And I still got better players around him to help him out.
Yeah.
He'll drop in front.
Bash is back, isn't he?
Yep. He played last week, so.
Yeah, I think he's going to have a massive impact because his ability to run off the back line, I can't see them curtailing it.
Yeah. Like I said, I think it's just going to be weight of possession. He's going to win it for Richmond, and they'll do it comfortably. Bulldogs and Essendon at Etihad Stadium. Geez, Bulldogs really need to bounce back.
Yep. You can't hit Bulldogs.
You can't, can you? Can't,
no.
You can hope that they get there and they get excited for this one because it's their first return match against Stringer.
Yeah, that's true. You maybe that gets them up.
There's a lot of people there who aren't happy with him.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot not to be happy about at Western Bulldogs at the moment. So, yeah, anything, you'd be looking for anything as a sign just to really bear
something
the
like that
together.
Can focus them
yeah.
and give them a
meaning. You're trying to plan if you're Bevo.
But all the blokes that could give him a touch-up are out. Like, you got Liberatore out, Marcus Adams.
Clay Smith would have given one.
Out. Pickin, he's gone. he'll have a headbutt.
That'll do his concussion no harm.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't want to tip the Bulldogs, but I'm tipping against the Bulldogs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, exactly what I was thinking. You're not tipping for Essendon, you're tipping against the Bulldogs at the minute. Mm. And because they've given you no reason to tip them.
Yeah, and this could
be one they could probably win it.
This could be one where Danaher looks good.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they've got a backman that can stop him.
They certainly don't.
And they definitely don't have anyone that's going to be able to stop fucking midfield.
Heppel.
Yeah.
Mm. Especially if Jordan Roughhead ends up out as well. And finally, the Eagles and the Cats at Optus Stadium. Eagles finally got their buoyed up win last week, but they haven't won at home yet. This is a good chance to do it.
Yeah, I'm going for the curse. I'm going for Eagles just not to win at home all
not
season.
Not win at home all season. That would be fantastic to say.
I'm all about the streak, so I'm doing. Yeah, bring it down. So, yeah, I think Geelong is going to get the line this one. I can't see them, coming across there and put in a...
Kennedy's still out.
Kennedy's out for another month.
Yeah. That's, a five-goal better side right there.
Yeah, of course.
If Duncan's back in, I reckon not just at Geelong, but Geelong by a bit.
Nick Nat will have a lot to say. Like we said, if Ben McAvoy was able to dominate them this week, Nick Nat's another step up. However, surely Geelong will think, okay, this is what happened. We've got to work around it.
You'd assume that that's this week's practice.
You make more of a plan for Nick Nat than you do for Ben McAvoy.
Well, if Duncan's back, you got five top-quality midfielders. Yeah. Surely you can shark a couple.
Who's the fifth?
Kelly.
Kelly Duncan.
I'd say four top quality.
I'm on form.
Yeah, fair enough. He's done all right. So is that three Geelongs?
Yep.
Yeah, all right. All right, that'll do us for round three preview.
Yeah. Have fun. Peace.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.